you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Kind, The Creative and The Chaotic with me, Kelly Jade, and sound guy slash co-host, Wayne Naylor.
Hey.
So, your fans seem to be piling up even more.
What?
Yeah, I've had more messages about your voice, actually.
What?
So maybe you should do like a weird like YouTube sleep channel slash sensual channel.
You know, I need the money, so that might be an option, because I'm real broke these days. Real broke.
How are you coping with the fame?
You're
new to the game, but...
You know, it's getting to my head. You know, just the other day I was at a coffee shop and they didn't make my coffee to my exact liking, so I had to throw it in their face.
Classic Kanye.
There were third degree burns and I'll be in court in a couple months. I'm probably going to do a 5-year bid.
Okay, so what have you been up to this week? Have you done anything creative?
Yeah, so I've finished the first draft on a short film script I'm going to do. It took me forever because writing is truly painful for me, every part of it. So done that. I'm really happy with it, so I'm just waiting to sort of see what, if any notes come back from like the producers I work with, stuff like that.
Okay, how long is Forever?
Oh God, I think I toyed around with this idea like early last year.
Okay, that's, you know what, for a creative, that's not too bad, because you can put it on hold for like 5 years.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like it always been sort of in my head, like, I want to do something cult-like, and it's like, okay, cool. Finally got down to it, and I wrote it last year, and I hit a stumbling block with the ending part, and then I just sort of left it, and then, I don't know, because it's sort of how it works for me, it's like, I just... have to work this out in my head, and I have to just sort of beat it up, and it beats me up, and then eventually we reconcile, and I put it on paper, and I'm like, yeah, you're good enough.
Okay,
I guess we'll see how this goes.
I'm excited. Can I have like a cameo?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I like it to think about that first.
Well, because it's in the horror genre, and I know you are not really fond of the horror genre, so... Actually, maybe, then again, being on set and sort of feeling like that, it might actually be like, oh, it's not that bad.
Especially if I'm, like, the killer, because I'll be like, I've got this. I'm fine, I'm the one with the knife.
It's going to be a bit more hands-on than that.
Right.
A bit more hands-on, you know, so that we're, you know, I like my horror to be grassroots, you know, mm-hmm. Get your hands dirty, you know, real sort of, like, hipster vibe to it.
Nice. Yeah. Talking of hipster vibes, and no spoilers, everybody, don't worry. I recently started watching Umbrella Academy, And I just have to say, oh my God, super inspired by one person in particular that I've always loved, but now my stan has come back truly 100%. Robert Sheehan is amazing.
Okay.
He's so cool, and he's such a good actor. Like, I always believe everything that he does.
Yeah, no, he's great. Like, I remember I used to watch him in Misfits, and I was like, you are clearly the person who's going to be the biggest star from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, and funny enough, he kind of went away, and like, in a weird way, all of them sort of got more famous before him, so I was like, a bit weird, but then I'm glad that he's back, I'm glad that he's doing something big, so yeah, no, he's quality.
He is good. He kind of reminds me of like a young sort of Johnny Depp as well, because he's not scared to be a bit weird. It just seems very comfortable in doing it. Yeah. I wish I was that comfortable all the time.
There is a joke here that I am not going to touch with the Johnny Depp stuff.
So okay.
I'm just going to leave it out there.
Shall we slide away from that?
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got a great show ahead with a very awesome guest. In fact, actually, this is the guy that designed our gorgeous podcast logo of the rainbow. And then the clouds, and then the lightning, and the rain. But when he's not making my visions come true, he, and I quote from his website, freelance screen printer working for a wide range of clients, including Print Club London, Somerset House, Bob Gill, Joe Wilson, and Cliff Richards.
Clifford Richards.
Oh!
Cliff Richards.
That'd
be amazing.
Yeah, I was getting really excited because you could do the whole congratulations.
Sadly
on
not.
That client. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sam Baldwin.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Nice
again.
How are you feeling?
All right. That bio is about 5 years old.
Okay.
And I don't think I've seen it since I wrote it.
Oh dear. Did I miss anything?
Probably.
Oh,
but that's fine.
Okay. Good. Before we begin, Wayne, I think that you should know that he knew me when I was a teenager. So he's pretty much seen everything from emo to indie to whatever I am now.
I think we've known each other for about 15 years.
Ridiculous. Damn. That's so crazy. Weird.
How old are we? 12 or 13?
So what year are you in year? Is it? Did we meet in year 8?
Maybe.
Yeah.
When we used to come and hang outside.
The girls'
the
school.
The girls' school.
With a little ragtag gang. Yeah.
Hardly. We were the least intimidating group of boys ever.
Yeah, so you've just seen every kind of fashion I've ever had.
Yeah.
I remember when...
They've all been amazing.
No, they haven't. Do you not remember when I went through my stage of loving the Mighty Boosh because of you? And one time, Sam had just moved to London. I came to visit him. I was wearing some sort of lace dress that you'd wear to a wedding, cowboy boots and a denim jacket. I look back and it's just the horrors.
Well, I went through that phase as well.
No, you've always looked cool.
I had a pair of white leather shoes, pointy shoes.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was this because of the horrors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was a very bad look. And they're in the bin now.
Oh, man.
Definitely.
Didn't even give
them
to charity.
That's a bad look. No, no one should ever wear those again.
Wow. What about you? Have you already had any weird fashion creative stages?
Honestly, I've only had like one sort of fashion in mind, really, or just sort of like... Like, it's always been hip-hop, it's always been rap.
Always been a G.
It's always... It's pretty much been, I'd say, and it's very specific, 2001 New York, specifically Harlem, baggy clothing, really nice trainers, only streetwear, nothing smart, and that's been my entire life. That's all it's been.
So you've always been cooler than us, basically.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
Not really. No, not at all. Like, I don't know, like, it was always like, I'd always have that, I wear like what everyone else is wearing, and then they talk to me like, oh, wow, you go over there, you odd child. You know, it's like, I was just really a jester, just everyone, I just, you know, just always trying to make people laugh. I'm just like, well, yeah, make you all laugh. Whilst I'm deeply in much emotional pain.
a deep
sadness.
Moving on from creative fashion choices to the creative industry. Do you like what I did there?
Oh, yes. Nice. Segways.
Can you... You two are the worst. I shouldn't have introduced you. Can you tell the audience exactly what it is that you do and when it kind of started?
Okay, so I am a silkscreen printer. That's what I do for like my day job. So that's what I get paid for. And then I'm an illustrator in kind of like my own time, which makes zero money, but it's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's what I enjoy doing.
Well, you've always been doing it since I've known you, like doing little doodles in your
little
room
doodles.
And stuff.
Not doodles.
I didn't mean it.
Doodles.
Okay, doing your artwork.
Yeah.
I've
always been an artiste.
You have? Kind of answered the question already, but I was going to say, is it what you thought it would be? Like when you were younger, do you think it would be easier or were you always aware that it'd be quite difficult as an artist?
Well, I guess I didn't really know what you did as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're growing up, you think artists just make their own work and
they
just hang around in the studio all day making stuff. But that's like such a small part of it. And everyone, all artists have to make a living like by doing commercial jobs.
Yeah.
That's essentially like what you gotta do. Even if you're like Picasso or someone, or I don't know, they all did like really commercial jobs that made them loads of money.
Yeah.
Before they were like mega famous and selling paintings for like 20 million.
Mm.
So I guess I didn't know that before, but I guess I still don't really know now.
Yeah. Because standard.
I just kind of sit in my studio and draw stuff for myself. And like, I don't know, I don't really think about the outside world.
Well, that's kind of a little bit what you thought you'd be doing. Like kind of in a studio, hanging about.
Yep, lots of hanging about. Not that much working.
Do you get any inspiration from that? Or is it quite difficult when things aren't...
hanging about?
Yeah. Just like, you know, when you just kind of let loose with your pencil?
Not really.
No.
I think about everything for like way too long.
Okay.
So I have to know exactly what I'm drawing before I do it.
Yeah.
I can't just go in blind because then it'll just... It's absolute shit.
Can you do the thing? So, you know when you think of something in your head and then you desperately try and draw it on a piece of paper and it looks really bad?
Mm-hmm.
When you draw it on paper, does it come out how you actually want it to look?
Not really.
Oh, what? But it looks so profesh.
Well, I think, like, you just want everything to be the best in the world. And you have these ideas of what that best thing is. And I guess, like, half the skill of being an artist is being able to translate that from your head.
Yeah.
Onto the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be the best drawer in the world. And it's very windy here. That's a weird silence.
Yeah.
What was I saying? But that doesn't mean you're necessarily good at translating your ideas for other people to, like, get.
Yeah, it's half the battle, isn't it?
And that's, like, what you've got to practice at, really.
Yeah. Back to when we were a bit younger. Uh-huh. Back then, we only really had things like MySpace.
Yes.
But now, that smile.
Top eight.
Your top eight. Well, let's not talk about that.
the deep politics of the top eight.
I had a MySpace, but I didn't do that much on it.
No.
Well, I had a music page, so.
Yeah, you did.
Rather than like a personal one, though.
But I just, in regards to social media, like Instagram, so there's a whole auto sharing thing now. So where you put something out and millions of people can see it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means that you can see art from all over the world that is possibly quite similar. Do you ever get frustrated when you see people with more followers or whatever doing what you're doing, but maybe not to the same standard? Or there's so many people out there?
Nah, because I, even though I understand the importance of social media in modern business stuff, I don't really give a crap about social media, really, because it's just like, it's not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not like a super crazy, shouty person, you know that. So why would I do that on Instagram? It's not like the first thing that comes to my head when I make something.
Yeah.
I finish it and then I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
On to the next thing. I'm not like, I've got to put that on Instagram now.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
But how do you, if you have something, because I know you have a website and stuff, but how do you ever put it out? Do you ever sell anything online? How do you reach your audience? Or do people come to you, find you?
I guess I do some like art markets.
Oh, okay.
People can find me there.
Okay, so more face-to-face stuff.
Yeah, making good stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, forcing it to happen by throwing it in the faces of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that probably is a stupid thing to do, and it might fail, but I think good work always stands out over bad work.
Yeah.
And people always get recognised for making good work. Not that I'm saying I make amazing work.
Well, you do, but
you know, you shouldn't like, you should just be focusing on making good work.
Yeah. That's the main point.
Yeah.
Like 2% of you should be thinking about social media. Yeah. Or just pay someone else to do it. That's what I'd do in an ideal world. To get someone else to do it. I wouldn't have the passwords or anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see how many likes I got because it just can make you feel bad sometimes.
Yeah, I guess there's also the thing of when you do put all your artwork out there, there are assholes out there that will just literally copy it. And so do you ever get worried about that? Have you had that happen yet?
Nah, I'm not, no.
Your stuff is quite obscure though, isn't it?
If people copy style, and I think like you can kind of get away with not copying but taking influence from style, because everyone, like, everyone's inspired by the generation that came from before, so you're always kind of like copying someone's style in a, yeah, in a way, but it's copying ideas that's bad. So yeah, if someone copied an idea I had,
like completely start to finish,
yeah, yeah, that's when it's like would be annoying.
Yeah,
but if someone just copied my style, but they put, if they did it badly, then it's just like, fuck you, fucking shit. So do what you want to do. Not my problem.
Have you ever had people interested in your work, but they're not wanting to pay the amount?
Mm-hmm.
That
every
was,
single yeah, job.
Wow.
No okay, one wants to pay,
but they want the results
for anything. Yeah. So for like a magazine, well, it's in like printed world now, there's like no money for making like magazines,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So the margins are like super tight, but they still want to make a really good magazine that looks amazing and have really good artwork in it, but they're not willing to pay for that.
Mm.
So they're always basing their like thing on, oh yeah, but it'll be really good for you if you were in my magazine.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it'll be really good if you pay me, because mm-hmm, I've never read your magazine before.
But they can pay you in experience, and really,
well, we all know experience, that, you know, bullshit. Because
what's the word?
Well, not experience, exposure, but like exposure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anything I've done, I've never, like, people have never found me from it.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're getting the front cover of like The Guardian,
then
that's yeah, amazing exposure. Yeah. But then you wouldn't be doing that for free or for like no money, because they're The Guardian.
What about when companies need like logos or artwork? Because I know what, you
like
did
you?
Yeah, but you did this for me, but I mm-hmm, did say I did offer to pay you, didn't I?
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I don't remember. I'll have to reread the email.
I can get my Facebook Messenger up and I can prove it. But you very kindly said, no, I want to do this. I want to help you out. But generally, when companies want logos and stuff, is it the same as when people want things from magazines? People want to pay less. Do people actually come back yeah, and say, can we do it at this discounted price?
Normally, someone will come to you and say, like, I've got X amount of money.
Ah, okay.
And you'll either go, that's not enough, or there are like, in the illustration world, there are kind of set amounts that you might get paid for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So for like a small image in a newspaper, it might be like 300 quid generally, or for like a half page, it's like 500,
mm-hmm,
or for a logo, it might be like £1,000 or whatever.
Okay.
So if someone comes to you and goes, I need this doing like half page for a newspaper, I've got £100. You know you're not getting paid enough for that.
Okay.
But if someone comes and says, I'll give you £1,000 for it, you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's knowing your worth and how much you should be getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing.
Okay.
And thinking of it as like, it's really hard when you're doing something that you like really love doing, because you just want to do it, and the fact that someone's asking you to do something, you're like, well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they like my work, so you just want to do it. But if you then spend a week on it and you're only getting paid 100 quid,
It's not
going to pay for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And it's after that that you're like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I did a job for a magazine who were, like, a Japanese fashion magazine.
Cool.
And I was like, this sounds really cool. And they were like, we want a one-page comic. And no one asked for comics. So it was, like, amazing. And they're like, we've only got 50 quid.
Oh, what?
And it was like,
I wouldn't do for that much. And I do, like, stickmen.
But of course, because I'm an idiot, I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then they were like, awesome, we'll like, it's going to go in the magazine, we'll send you a copy, it's going to be great. So I finished it, sent it off to them. A few months later, didn't hear anything. They paid me, but so I was like, oh, I'd quite like to get a copy of that magazine because my work's never been printed in like something like that.
Yeah.
And it's got no reply.
Oh, cool.
Message them on Instagram, no reply.
Wow.
And it's when it's like that, it's just like, you're absolutely taking the piss now.
Massively.
And you're just screwing people over.
But all they have to do is keep one to the side to chip off to you. It's
yeah.
I don't understand that.
I don't know. I've got a feeling they might have got cut from the magazine.
But why?
I don't know, because whoever commissioned it was probably like punching above his weight and not allowed to do it.
This sounds cool. I'm going to do it anyway. And it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm happy with the work I made for it, so.
Good. And have you still got the drawing itself to keep for yourself? Okay. Well, it's not like you sent it off. You know, when, for example, if when you're
younger... It's not in the 1950s and you have to send your work off. You have a little portfolio that you're walking up and down the road with.
Oh.
You send your work off.
It just reminded me of a time
just
when
scan it in and send it to them over an email.
I remember when I was desperate to be part of the Beano Club and I did a really good picture of Walter, you know, the Walter the Geek.
Softy Walter.
Softy Walter. But it was so good and I used my new gel pens and they had sparkles, so his jumper was on fleek. But I had to send it in and I wasn't going to get it back. Sent it in. And I did make the cut, bitches. So I got in, but then I never got that picture.
But did it not say, like, they won't return your drawing?
Yeah, I think something like that. Because the thing is, they can't return everyone's drawings, can they? That's ridiculous.
And if you get in, you do get the Hairy Nasher badge.
Excuse me?
Which is amazing. The Hairy Nasher badge.
Well, that sounds perverted, and I don't have one.
I was in the Beano Club. It doesn't sound like you were in the Beano Club. Where's your Hairy Nasher badge?
I've got a Beano Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
One with Plug's face and another where Dennis is in space.
You got a t-shirt, a Beano Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
One of those little like sports string bags. You got a poster. You got a membership card. And you got a Hairy Nasher badge. Maybe you didn't really make the cut.
No, I did though. Maybe, wait, when did you join? Maybe it was more of a free-for-all then.
Last week.
You're giving it all away now.
I love it.
Oh, I do love the Beano though. They've got to be some of my favourite cartoon strips ever.
Yeah, the Beano's amazing.
I think my favourite was Roger the Dodger. He was a hot babe.
I don't know if you can find a cartoon hot.
Oh, honey, don't get me started.
The drawing, sexy. There's one sexy drawing.
You can get some commissions from me.
Of a sexy drawing.
Oh, maybe. Robin Hood, the fox.
Sexy Robin Hood.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, art is weird, generally. So am I. But simple paintings can sell for, like, thousands. Like, you know, there's ones where it's white and then there's, like, a red dot in the middle.
Yep.
But then you know, more complex stuff like the stuff that you do seems to be like lower down the chain. Like, it's kind of a bit similar to actors for artists, because until you really get to the top, you don't make too much money from it.
Yeah. Well, you, like I was kind of saying earlier about the commercial side of stuff, you can. There are like, most illustrators you'd have never heard of because they do like super corporate commercial jobs that they get paid like thousands for, but it's all for like in-house or for some like random like financial advert or something, which you'd never see because you're not super into finance.
No.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So there are like ways to make money and not be like super famous, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But no, it's also true, like, and if you're a mega successful famous artist, you will earn loads of money, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, no, cool. It's a bit like commercial directing. So, like, way to sort of make money as a filmmaker, one of the biggest ways is to direct adverts.
Yeah,
totally. It's very lucrative, especially like one of my sought after jobs is like car advertisement. That's where Michael Bay and David Fincher and a lot of those
Ridley Scott
cut their teeth. Yeah, Ridley Scott as well. Yeah,
Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
yeah. He did an advert like for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
cool.
I think is the Apple one, isn't it?
Maybe.
Where it's that lady, she's throwing the sledgehammer into that screen, and it's like, oh, a new computer's coming out. But yeah, like, no, some of the biggest filmmakers sort of come from that advertising world. And so, like, in a weird way, I like, so I'm actually really into adverts, specifically ones from the 90s. I think, like, the 90s adverts are so cool.
Mm.
And, like, they're so interesting. They're so sort of avant-garde to some extent. Mm-hmm. Especially when you sort of look at the products as, like, they're advertising. Like, there's a Goodyear tires one, which is just absolutely insane, and then it gets to the end of the thing, it's like, it's for tires, like,
totally.
Like,
because there's just like ridiculous amounts of money in advertising.
Oh god, yeah.
That people get paid stupid amounts for doing, like,
yeah, like
just coming up with bad ideas basically.
Yeah, like the, I think the night commercials to me are like some of the most influential ones, like those night football adverts
for, yeah,
even to now, it's just insane how much work and effort and time goes into it, and whole campaigns. There was a football tournament back in the early 2000s, which I absolutely loved.
Well, it's because like, and now there are people like Kenzo, those adverts are like amazing, but on TV you'll only see like 20 seconds.
Yeah,
but because it's costing them so much money to make, they've got like a 5-minute version that's on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch like a little film.
Yeah. And I've seen them on Vimeo as well. I'm just like, how is this? And then you look at it, it's just like, it's so sad sometimes. I was like, these look so good, but this is for, this isn't a branded advertisement. And they're getting much more money than any sort of person doing any short films on Vimeo ever would. So it looks incredible, but it's just like.
And then at the end, it's just the logo. For...
Yeah. It's conflicting, but at the same time, like, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
That money. Gotta live.
Oh, in respect to that, when it does get tough with money and stuff with your job, have you ever had a moment where you just think of quitting and doing something day to day or office job?
Yeah.
Really?
I think like most artists self-doubt.
Yeah.
All the time, every day, right now, and self-doubting the things I'm even saying, and like, oh my god, why am I doing this podcast?
No, you do.
But yeah, no, totally. There was like a period over Christmas when like I was thinking about, because there's, for every free, this is really boring, but for every like freelance person, January is like the worst month because you have to do your tax return.
Yeah,
and it's always like never save any money
because
you don't have earn enough to save money.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, at the end of that month, you've got to pull together, like, a couple of grand.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I need to be making more money. Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, over Christmas, I knew this was coming up, and I was like, I've got no money. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
I could totally just... Because, like, with the screen printing I do, I, you know, I make an all right living. But I could totally go full-time with that and earn more money and have a slightly more comfortable life.
Yeah.
But that would mean like giving up my illustration. And then just when that idea popped into my head straight away, I was like, nope.
Yeah. Well, that's
that can't happen.
That's a good sign.
Because that's
though,
just so
it?
Depressing.
Yeah.
So there are times, but you just have to like
power through.
Yeah. And I think that's probably something that gets to a lot of people when they first like leave uni.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
people that can't like make it work, they stop then.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think if you get too far into it, you can't really quit because there's too much like riding on it.
There's a lot of riding personally. On it, but also you don't, if you come so far, by that you're very committed, so you don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a massive part of your life. But I think all creatives have really bad off days. Like, I know I do.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go, meh.
Yeah.
Do you know what to do? Yeah.
I kind of went off a year, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
All last year was like just. But it's funny because I actually work an office job. And recently I went part time. Mainly because of the year I had last year. It was just like, I was doing well in the job. Everything was going kind of cool, and I was actually really enjoying myself. And there was actually a point where I was like, I'm not missing the creative side of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually, there was, in the summer period, I was like, I'm not missing making films. I'm not missing writing.
Oh,
There was a long period where I was not writing anything and I just wasn't missing it. And I was like, oh God, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then we moved office, we moved to Croydon, and I remember it was almost like someone threw some whole water in my face, like, you cannot do this, you cannot give up to some extent. Because even though I was thinking that I wasn't missing it, it was always on my mind, and it was always something I was thinking about. So it's like, I think sometimes doing an office job can remind you just how much you want it.
100%.
Yeah, in a weird way. Because, like, you see the other side and it's comfortable, but then that comfortableness kind of dissipates after a while.
Yeah.
And it becomes boring and a bit malaise, and it's just like,
and it's just the same God, thing, like, day in, day out. And
yeah.
You want something different from that.
Same faces, too.
Well, I think sometimes it's really good having that kind of balance, because I wouldn't want to be like a full-time illustrator, because then it's just like,
then that's not fun.
That's basically a 9-to-5 job as well.
Yeah.
Because you're just going in and you feel like you have to be doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's really good to have like lots of different outlets. So like, in my day job, it's quite like a repetitive process, but that gives me like loads of time to think about stuff. Often like too much time, and I like overthink everything, but I'll be like thinking of what I'm going to draw next time I'm in the studio whilst I'm printing. Yeah. And that's like, if I was just constantly sat at my desk worrying about what I was, should be drawing, then nothing would ever like happen. But like, you build up, you're like, okay, I need to go to the studio. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yes, come on.
Excited about it.
I'm going to do it.
So where do you get your inspiration from? Because a lot of your stuff is super weird in a good way. Is there anything in particular that sets off an idea?
I like just walking around and just...
In one circle?
In one little circle. it's getting dizzy. Until you just get so dizzy, you just come up with some random shit. And then you just put that down. Now, I like just like walking around where I live, and you start to like notice people. Or like, I think nowadays you walk around or like get the tube and no one looks at each other.
Yeah.
Everyone's ignoring each other. But I like looking at people and like trying to like see what they're about. And it's the people on the fringes of society who are kind of like oddballs, or not even oddballs in the sense of they're a bit crazy or they're a bit wacky, but they're just not part of like normal society necessarily. Yeah. They're just like doing their own thing. So I like looking out for people like that.
Okay.
And that kind of informs what I do. Mm-hmm. And then I just put some like, I don't really have to put that much weird stuff on it. You just like make up a story in your head based on that person. Like the weirdness is already there, really.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool that those people have no idea that they've inspired tons of artwork.
Yeah.
Just by totally. Being themselves.
Yeah. I often think, if you're like, oh, I'm going to do something really crazy and weird, and it's like, oh, it's going to be a cup with a clown hat. It's just like, yeah, it's not that good, really.
See, it just like, happened then, trying to be wacky. Exactly. It doesn't work.
And from all good things that are like weird, like, I know we were both into like the Mighty Boosh when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of the first things of our like generation where it was like really surreal and weird. And we felt like it was our own kind of comedy.
Yeah.
But I doubt they get together and go like, what weird stuff are we going to do today? It's just them chatting shit to each other.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, and like that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's funny because... Like one of the one half of the guys from Mighty Boosh,
Noel, he directed. Julian.
I think Julian.
Probably Julian.
He's the director of. He's directed the two Paddington films, isn't he?
No,
that was Paul King. He directed the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
but Julian Barrett did write that film last year called like. Oh, it's the guy that wears like an eye patch.
Oh, Mindhorn.
Yeah, Mindhorn.
That was
the other film,
which I haven't seen, but. Well, I've watched half of it and got a bit bored.
Can I also just say, like, Paddington 1 and 2 are, like, easily two of the best films I've ever seen in my life.
Not this again. Incredible. He talks about Paddington all the time.
They are so, so good. I just, like, you know, when we look back on history and we look back on the history of film in the last 10 or 20 years, those films are going to stand up.
Paddington 1 and 2.
Yeah, like, I'm not even lying. Like, they are, like, I don't know, like, I feel like sometimes with, like, kids' films, they're sort of called, or, like, actually, no. Saying they're kids' films, I hate when people say that, because sometimes a lot of the animated films that I see, a lot of the sort of films directed at kids, have so much more to say about the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Verse.
Than any sort of, like, the adult films that I sometimes see, because sometimes I see some films that are, like, 18 rated. I'm just like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. So I guess, like, kids' films have to have some kind of moral story to it, because that's how kids learn and, like, adult stuff. I think they forget that.
Yeah,
they just try and make it like crazy action.
And I think sometimes they thrive a bit too much to be like. And I think something in general in art is that sometimes people strive so much to have something to say, and it's just like, well, and like they want to feel like their art needs to be overtly important. And sometimes, if you're trying to be serious 100% of the times, you're not. I don't know. I just find it kind of laughable. Totally. It's just kind of like, I can't take you seriously because you're so po-faced.
Yeah.
And that's not life.
Yeah, like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You can really tell when someone's tried to make a certain thing.
Yeah.
Rather than just like making their own work.
Back to kids' films. Well, not kids' films, like we said, not kids' films.
Yeah.
Films created that many young adults, old adults, old people, whatever, think we shouldn't watch, kind of. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
You know, because if I go and see a Marvel film, some people are like, oh, Marvel, isn't that for kids? Like, no, actually, definitely not. It's amazing. It's
definitely not for kids as well.
Regarding the things that you like, I know you like superheroes, and you love your music.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the OC too.
Oh, California.
I think Kelly's describing like 17-year-old me, 28-year-old me.
Hey, listen, man, Misha Barton, she was an icon, man.
Do you have a particular piece of art based around any scenes with Seth and Summer, or like a song you have on repeat, or, you know, something, has anything inspired you from a media outlet?
From a media outlet?
Yeah.
That
you can think of?
Yeah, like films, like making comics, films are like a massive inspiration. Not like, I don't watch as many films as I should do, because I just watch crap on YouTube.
My man over here watches like 165 a year.
I know, I listened to that podcast. I was like, fucking hell.
It was a lot.
But I guess like directors, I think it's more like people than their actual films sometimes. So like, you know, like David Lynch, who else? I don't know, just like people like them, their kind of attitude and their working ethics.
Yeah.
That I think that can be more inspiring than some like the films they make.
Yeah.
Even though their films are amazing, but just the way they create it is inspiring.
And have you done any work for any musicians yet? Any artwork, album work or?
I have not. I did get asked once to make an album cover for an American like surf band.
Cool.
Which I was like, amazing.
Gnarly
again.
Dude.
Totally gnarls. Totes. But again, like back to money, they wanted to own the rights to it, which means they can basically do whatever they want with it and like print it on a t-shirt and put it on a mouse mat.
Okay.
And they only wanted to pay like 500 quid.
Okay.
Where if you're going to like, if you're literally selling your rights to an image, you should be getting paid like thousands and thousands of pounds, because you can't do anything with that.
Afterwards.
You don't own that anymore. It's theirs.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, it would really suck if they suddenly became huge and it was your artwork and you'd only got 500 quid for it.
Yeah. And well, it's like the whoever drew the Nike logo got paid like $200 for it.
What? Oh, my soul.
Yeah.
No.
I'd be sitting in the dark room every day.
I know.
Every day.
But But it's like impossible to tell, like, if a company's gonna. I bet the guy that drew it was like Nike. Yeah. Okay. I'll see you later, mate. I'll do this tick for $200. Easy. And then, like, 10 years later, they're like, fuck. What have I done?
It's actually funny because, so George Lucas, when he made Star Wars originally, the studio, I think it was Fox, they had no sort of, like, they had no sort of, like, faith in that franchise, uh-huh. and they just did not care. They were just like, whatever, it's going to come out and bomb. And then he sort of did something that was so incredible to me. He asked for all of the rights for merchandise and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, you can have it. And
so, like, yeah, sure, mate.
And so when you think about Star Wars and the merchandise and stuff like that, it's like a whole studio missed out on one of the most lucrative mm-hmm. in regards to merchandising, like, franchise, like, ever. And it's just like, but and it's like that thing, like, you don't know. Because everything was pointing towards the fact that, like, because it had never been done, never been seen before, something like that, that melts through so many different things, you don't know if it's going to be popular or not. And so they just like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so I just wonder if those execs sort of look back on that and just like, fuck.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Like, he must have got fired, like, immediately when it became a phenomenon. Right? Just like.
But that's, like, a problem with, like, even today, that no one wants to, like, put their own heart into making something. So, like, in, like, the film industry now, there's, like, not many, like, indie films getting made.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of franchise. You know where the money is.
Mm.
They're, like, almost guaranteed paybacks. Mm. And there's no one, like, just going, like, I really just believe in this idea, in this film. They probably, as they didn't believe in Star Wars, they were like, whatever, have it.
Yeah.
But if someone was like, I believe in you, George.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Yeah. Which is funny because, like, a lot of Marvel films, like, most of the people who direct them, they're indie directors.
Yeah.
Like, the people who did Captain Marvel right now, they're...
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Last of all, but definitely not least, do you have any advice for illustrators feeling a bit low that are trying to get into the business or just thinking of starting out?
Don't rush, because I think, especially if you go to uni to study this, you're kind of expected to have found, like, your style by the time you leave. And in those first, like, that first year after leaving uni, you think you should have found who you are as, like, an artist. But if you're normally only, what, like, 21, 22 when you leave, you've got, like, so much more time to work out what you want to do.
Yeah.
So don't rush that, and don't be worried that you haven't found your thing yet. Because if you just keep doing it, you'll eventually... Something will just click one day, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, don't rush, and then... Just fuck everyone else. Just do your own thing.
Nice. Sound advice.
Stay off Instagram. Basically, if you go on Instagram, you'll just make yourself feel bad that everyone else is supposedly doing better than you.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's bullshit, and it's they're probably feeling the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
So just keep working and make stuff that you want to make. That's that.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for coming on
the show. No worries. Thanks for having me.
Sam. I feel like you two have created a brand new friendship as well, which is lovely. Yep.
I would like a cameo in the film as well, please.
Cool. I'll see what I can do.
I can't act for shit either. I am the worst.
I'll see what I can do.
I'll work for, like, catering.
Oh, okay.
I have no catering in any of my films.
I mean, I go to Sainsbury's and pick up some sandwiches.
Guess what, Wayne? Guess what we've got this week? We actually had a question sent in. So now we have to be super professional and try and help. This question's pretty chilled, to be fair. It's quite a nice one. Sam, you can get involved as well.
Okay.
So, question sent our way from Ben Wagstaff. Who wants to know?
Do you know this person, by the way?
No, I don't, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hi, Ben.
So it's Reaching.
How's it going, Ben?
Wagstaff. It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
He wants to know our go-to song for feeling pumped up and inspired. That's quite a nice question. Something you put on, like a bit of Rocky, or...
What do I listen to?
I immediately thought out of the tag when you said Rocky.
I mean, I quite like... Upbeat, the first thing that comes to my head is Chic. They're always quite funky and like, Africa. So it makes me wake up and want to do stuff in my day. So I guess that's quite inspiring. Anyway, yeah. Nile Rodgers is okay by me. What about you guys?
I think I still listen to a lot of 2005 indie.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, I seem to go back to that quite a lot.
Mm.
And that kind of guitar music.
Mm.
So maybe that.
Yeah.
We Are Scientists.
We Are Scientists, yes.
Yeah. I wonder if you've heard of the artiste, the great, incredible, influential Vengaboys.
The Venga bus is coming.
And Uncle John from Jamaica is on that train.
What do you in my room?
Did they do...
Very sexual track. Very sexual.
All of them are?
Yeah, a lot of them are. So, wow, we were thinking about some real...
Did they do Sex on the Beach?
No.
Who was that?
I don't care.
Who was that, though?
I don't know. I truly don't know. Nobody needs to know.
If I'm thinking pump-up songs, yeah, funnily enough, Joe Budden's Pump It.
Which is that? Pump, pump, pump it up.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Like, got a real energy to it. It's like, I can do anything.
Fat Man Scoop.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
You know what? Actually, Beyonce, Get Me Bodied.
Oh.
Yeah. That is a song that went, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Okay, cool. Well, guys, you should try those tracks out. And actually, send in your tracks that you listen to feel pumped up so we can share them in the next episode. Or the one after that. Or the one after that. Hey. Wow. That's all for now. Thank you for tuning in and have a fabulous week. Bye.
Ciao.
Told you that I have an anxiety issue.